I went to my friend, dictionary, Webster Dictionary, and he said, influence is a power affecting a person, thing, or course of events. Power to sway or affect. A determining factor believed by some to affect individual tendencies and characteristics. To affect nature, development, or condition of. And as I looked at that definition, I kind of zeroed in on that one. It says a determining factor believed by some, and I think I'd leave that those three words out personally, a determining factor to affect individual tendencies and characteristics. And, you know, mothers do a good job in general of fulfilling that definition of determining a determining factor affecting the individual tendencies and characteristics of others. You know, in life, there are a great number of matters and a great number of influences that come into our life, influence that decide the direction that we go, the occupations that we take, the spouses that we marry, and so forth. There are such things as society in general has an influence on the tendencies and characteristics that we have in our lives. Government, aren't they affecting our lives right now? And so they have an effect upon the direction we go. We can think of the matter of siblings. We have three siblings here in our church tonight, and I imagine they have an effect upon each other, some for the good, some otherwise, but you know, they have an effect on one another. Teachers, whether they're teachers in the school or teachers in Sunday school and different programs such as that, the TV you watch will have an influence upon your life. Facebook, today, Facebook can have a very definite influence upon you. And so there are many things that influence us, but possibly one of the greatest influences in our life is the influence of parents. And especially this evening, thinking of mothers and the influence that mothers have, especially in the young, tender years of their children. In the Bible, we have the example of the influence of mothers. We could look at just a great number of them this evening. We could look at the negative influence that is given by some mothers in the Bible. You think of Jezebel, an adulteress, a murderess, who influenced her husband to do evil, as it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And so she had an influence upon her husband and undoubtedly upon other members of the family as well. But it was a negative influence. You think of Herodias there in the New Testament, who influenced her daughter to have John the Baptist beheaded in Matthew 14, 18. And she, Herodias, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in the chapter. Now, I misled you there, and she is the daughter, and that was influenced by Herodias. But also, we have many positive examples of mothers who had positive influences. Now, I could have chosen one mother in the Bible and from her life pointed out a number of characteristics that brought about a positive influence. I could have chosen a number of the women in our church that portray these characteristics in their lives and having an effect upon their children. But tonight I have chosen five different women, five different mothers. And each one of these mothers that I chose probably would portray all five of these characteristics, but I chose different mothers and five different characteristics that are a positive influence. But before we look at these, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the mothers of this church, the mothers of this land. We thank you, Lord, for mothers who have a very positive influence upon family members and upon others. I thank you for my own mother who is at home with you tonight and the influence that she had in my life and the godly influence as a Sunday school teacher and many other things that she did. And I thank you for a wife that has a godly influence upon our children. And I thank you for the many mothers of our church that we could have chosen tonight who have a godly influence upon others. But we look at these five women tonight. I pray, Lord, it would be an encouragement, that, Lord, it would be a challenge as well. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel in chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, a mother who is quite familiar to most of us, Hannah. And Hannah, a woman of prayer. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, and she vowed a vow, jump up to verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, and of course this is speaking about Hannah at this particular time, and it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now you think back upon Hannah and the time that she was living. God, for some reason, in his sovereignty, had chosen to allow Hannah to be childless, to be without a child. If you look at verse number 6 of 1 Samuel 1, and her adversary, her adversary was Peninnah, provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord had withheld motherhood to Hannah at this particular time. And being without child, having desire to be a mother, she turned to the one who is able to give life. She turned to the one who alone gives life, and gives life physically, and gives life spiritually. And she turned to the Lord, and she prayed. And it says here, pouring out her heart before the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse number 15, and Hannah answered and said, oh no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful heart. She was responding to Eli, who thought she was drunken. And she was praying, and yet there was no words coming from her mouth. And it said, then Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful heart. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. It was interesting. I saw a quote from John Bunyan. It says, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. It's better to have a heart without words than a words without a heart. She had a heart. She had a desire. She came before the Lord and cried out and just bare her soul before the Lord. And as you think of this one verse, this 11th verse of 1 Samuel 1, and the prayer of Hannah, what a tremendous example of godly praying, biblical praying. As you think of her prayer, of course, at this point in this verse, was a prayer of petition. She was asking God for something. And first of all, she prayed desiring God's will. Notice what it says, if thou wilt. Lord, if it's your will. Lord, if that is what is best for me. She came humbly before the Lord. She came in submission to the Lord. She presented herself as a handmaid. In fact, as you read that verse and you read that prayer, three different times she refers to herself as a handmaid. You know, a handmaid was just a humble servant. And she came humbly before the Lord. She came almost like she was saying, I'm not deserving of anything. But Lord, if it would be your will, if what I am asking is what is best for me, I want you to do what is best for me. And so she prayed, asking the Lord for his will to be accomplished in her life. Secondly, she prayed specifically. You know, she didn't come to the Lord and say, Lord, it would be nice, it would be great. Would you please allow me to be a mother? Would you allow me to have a child? No, she said, Lord, would you give me a son? She prayed very specifically that she might have a son, a man to carry on the name of the family, I guess. And then thirdly, hers was a prayer of sacrifice. Notice she says, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. I will dedicate him to you. Willing to dedicate her son to the Lord, to do his service. You know, moms, not just moms, but we as dads as well, are we willing, if the Lord blesses and allows us to have children, to give them back to the Lord for his service, to take our hands off of him that his will might be done in their lives? And so Hannah prayed specifically that the Lord would give her a son. But then if you jump over to chapter 2 and beginning with verse 1, we find a second prayer. Her first prayer was a prayer of petition, asking the Lord. Their second prayer, the one mentioned here in chapter 2, is a prayer of praise. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like unto our God. And she goes on, and here we have the prayer of praise. Two different types of prayer, a prayer of petition, a prayer of praise. And I imagine most of us are quite quick to come with prayers of petition, asking God, and we ought to. We need to. But do we too often forget to go back and say, thank you, Lord? I think of our own life, and my wife and I have had a chance to travel a little bit. And normally when we start off on a trip going down to the Carolinas to visit our daughter or someplace out to Colorado where I grew up, and we before we leave, we pray and ask God for safety and guidance on the trip and so forth. And all of a sudden, one time I come back, you know, and I said, we've always prayed, God would bless. But how many times have we come home safely and forgot to stop and pray? And so we've gotten in a habit now when we get home and we drive in the driveway, shut off the engine, and we stop and say, thank you, Lord. We need to have prayer, a petition. Here's a woman of prayer, a mother of prayer, a characteristic that is so needed in our lives. Now, I do not want to read too much into what is written here. The Bible does not specifically say, but I can't help but believe that hers was a continuous prayer, a daily prayer. That she prayed day in and day out, Lord, would you give me a son? How often are we too quick to give up? We pray one time, but then we give up. I thank God, and I praise God for mothers of prayer. Moms, be a woman of prayer. Have that influence upon your family. Let your husband, let your children know that you are praying for them. Let them see you pray. Let them hear you pray. So the first characteristic, have I seen in godly women in our church, and an example for in the Bible, is Hannah, a woman of prayer. Now, go with me, if you would, back to the book of Exodus, in chapter 2, and beginning with verse number 1, and we find here another example of a godly woman, a characteristic that is needed in mothers' lives and in each of our lives, and we find Jochebed, a woman of courage. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took to him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. Now, as we look at this again, the king of Egypt had given orders for all the sons born to the Hebrew women were to be put to death. Chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 tell us that. But it was during this difficult time, this time when the Jewish women were facing some difficulty, and in fact, all the Hebrews of that time, we're facing a very difficult time, that God, in his sovereignty, blessed Amram and Jochebed with a son, who they named Moses. Now, knowing the command, knowing which the king had ordered, Jochebed demonstrated the characteristic of courage. She did not have her son put to death. She hid him. Now, is this an act of civil disobedience? I'll let you decide that. But the courage she had to go against the command, she hid him, that he would not be put to death. It took courage not only to hide her son for a period of time, but also to place him in the river, not knowing what would happen to him. Did she obey the king's order? You know, if you look, I think it's back in chapter 1 and verse 15. No, that's not it. But anyhow, the king said that they were to cast their sons into the river. Well, that's what she did. She put him in the river. Now, she did it in a much different way, but her courage was coupled with a demonstration of faith. Trusting the Lord would protect him. But as I turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, and in verse number 23, it says they were not afraid of the king's commandment. She was not alone. She had the support of her husband. And husbands, fathers, men tonight, we need to be quick to support our wives. When they make some difficult decisions, when they make decisions that take courage, that we support them, that we're together, unity is so important. And unity between mom and dad, unity in the home, adds to the strength of that home. You could turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 down through verse number 12, but just reading a couple of those verses, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up the fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Two are better than one. There's greater strength there, and men, we need to be a support to our wives. But thankfully, Jochebed had that characteristic of courage. Jochebed had the courage to simply do what was right. It takes courage in our society to do what is right. It's not always easy. It's very easy to compromise. It's very easy to go along with the latest trends. But dear moms, the characteristic of courage to do right will pay benefits, not only in your life, but in the life of your children, the life of your family. Now jump all the way back towards the back of the Bible to 2 Timothy and chapter 1 in verse 5. And if you get there, wait for me. I'll eventually get there myself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We find here two women. And so I said we were going to look at five different women. I guess we're actually looking at six. But Lois and Eunice. In verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And Pastor dealt with this morning and very ably pointed out some things on this. But, you know, we could have tonight went to Hebrews chapter 11 and used a variety of women who by faith made a difference in their homes. And so Lois and Eunice are women of faith, mothers of faith. But chapter 11 of Hebrews, it points out a number of women who had an influence on their homes and in their nations. They made a real difference for the cause of Christ. They had a genuine influence on others. Women who simply trusted the Lord to use them in the place that the Lord had put them. Paul, the young man Timothy, sometimes we refer to him as Paul's preacher boy, he saw in Timothy a genuine faith, saw the genuineness of Timothy's faith, a faith that would help Timothy when he served the Lord. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, here it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy, I have seen in you a sincere faith. I have seen in you an indisputable faith. But then he goes on and he says, it's a faith that was passed down from a godly grandma and a godly mother. Faith strengthened through the faith of your mom and your grandmother. You know, these women in their faith taught Timothy the scriptures. The scriptures which were able to make us wise into salvation. The scriptures which are the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Scriptures that can keep us from sin. Praise the Lord for women of faith. And again, I could have chosen just a number of women from our church here and used them as women who are women of faith, who had an influence even on my life since the short time I've been here in this church, the faith that they have demonstrated in their life. Now go again with me, and I must move on. Go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, and when I say that right away, all of you already know who I'm going to refer to here. In Luke in chapter 1, and we find Mary. I've referred to her as a woman of humility. What a great characteristic that she displayed that we need in our lives, humility. But in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 29, and when she, Mary, saw him, the angel who had came to announce to her that she was going to have the great privilege of being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And then drop on down to verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Jump over to verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And as I mentioned in these verses, we find the response of Mary to the announcement made by the angel Gabriel. She was just a simple, common woman. Again, she refers to herself as a handmaid or a handmaiden. Certainly wasn't expecting a visit from an angel. She didn't expect to receive any special favors to be given unto her. But she did receive a great favor. She had the privilege of becoming the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a sinful woman who needed a Savior, but had the privilege of being the mother of the Savior. In response to the call of God on her life, she humbly submitted to his will. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, whatever you have for me, I will do it. Mary humbly submitted totally to the Lord in body, in verse 38, in soul, verse 46, and in spirit, verse 47. She did that which Paul challenges each of us to do when he wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mary's desire was for the Lord to be glorified, not herself. If you notice what she says in those verses, especially verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. She was giving glory to God for what he was doing. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And then in closing, the last one we want to look at, go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And here we find a woman of hospitality. Another good characteristic to be found in moms. A characteristic, again, that has been demonstrated by a number of the women here in our church and a number of other women as well. Here, an unnamed woman, simply the Shunammite. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him and there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. This woman, an unnamed woman, but a woman who had an influence. She was a woman of hospitality. You know, one means of having a positive influence upon your children is a willingness to have others in your home. I am grateful for the godly heritage that I am able to have. The characteristics we have spoken of this evening are characteristics that I saw in my own mom. And one of those characteristics was she was a woman of hospitality. I can remember just time and time again of having missionaries in our home, having evangelists in our home, and other people. We had our own pastor in our home a number of times and others. And I'm thankful also for a wife who is willing to have missionaries, evangelists, and so forth in our home. And what a blessing that can be. And if you have small children, it can have an effect upon their lives. As they're able to sit and to to listen to these godly men and women. When we were up in Fort Atkinson, our house was set up that in the basement. We had a bedroom and so forth. And I can remember for one time, I think it was almost a month's time, we had the missionary McKenzie's in our home, Pastor and Mrs. McKenzie and their 10 children, and had them there for almost a month's time. But what a blessing that was. Another time we had the Buchers over in Spain. They were in our home for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. In fact, your in-laws stopped in one day and had lunch with them. Just a blessing. And it can have such an effect to have individuals like that in your home. It might be if you keep them overnight, your kids might have to sleep out on the couch or sleep on a air mattress or something like that, give up their room. But you probably find out that they don't mind. But I remember that one time we were in West Salem and Maranatha's basketball team was playing a basketball game in lacrosse against the Viterbo College. And so my wife and I decided that we'd run in and watch them play and got in the stands, and there was Dr. and Mrs. Cedar home. And we, after the game, we went and talked to him and said, we asked him, "Are you going back to Watertown?" And he said, "No, we're going to stay overnight and we're going to go on down." I think they were playing someplace in Minnesota the next night. And we said, "Well, we got extra room. Come and stay the night with us." And they accepted our invitation. What a blessing that was. Just sit and listen to the wisdom of Dr. Cedarholm and his dear wife. And a woman of hospitality, a characteristic that can have such an influence upon your family and upon your children. Mothers, do not ever underestimate the power of your influence. How that you can change the tendencies and the characteristics of your own children and even the characteristics of others by these characteristics. And as I said, I could have chosen just a number of women from our church to show all five of these characteristics. But let me challenge you to be women of prayer like Hannah, women of courage like Jochebed, women of faith like Lois and Eunice, women of humility as Mary, women of hospitality like the Shunammite. I didn't mention it, but as I was reading there concerning the Shunammite woman, the adjective that God used, great woman. All she was unknown by name, just a simple woman. But in the eyes of God, she was great. And in the eyes of God, any woman that will display these characteristics are great women, greatly used of the Lord. And one of the highest honors that any woman has, one of the greatest privileges, is to be a mother. Now, the world does not think that way, but God does. And God calls them great women. As Solomon said in Proverbs 1:8, "My son, forsake not the law of thy mother." Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, how thankful we are tonight for the women of our church. Thankful for women in my life that have made a great difference, had a positive influence. I think of my mom. Never had the privilege of knowing any of my grandmothers. I thank you for a godly wife that has an influence. I thank you for women in our church who have had a positive, godly influence. I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray, God, that you would continue to use them. I pray, Lord, that you would just give them the courage, the strength that is needed as they serve you. Thank you again for the time we've had together. Pray, God, that you would give us direction through our lives this week. For it's in Christ's name we pray.